Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 to 15. This is God's word. Give your attention to it. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He's a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity, every good path. For wisdom will come into your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will watch over you, understanding will guard you, delivering you from the way of evil, from men of perverted speech, who forsake the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perverseness of evil, men whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. This is God's word. One of the most well-known accounts in the Bible is a meeting that happens between a man named Nicodemus, who is a Pharisee, and Jesus. Nicodemus had come to Jesus at nighttime to seek some answers to some questions. He recognized that Jesus clearly was from God. He said to Jesus, there's no way that anybody could do the things that you're doing unless he was from God. And he comes to him seeking answers to his questions. And the first thing that John records for us of Jesus saying to Nicodemus is this. This is the first thing that John tells us that Jesus says to Nicodemus. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Why would Jesus say that? Why would he say that to Nicodemus? That unless you're born again, you can't see the kingdom of heaven. I think the reason he says that is because every single human being comes into the world with a heart that is inclined to turn away from God, to reject the things of God. And what we need as human beings is we need the Holy Spirit to change our hearts, to turn them towards the Lord, towards the things of God. That's what it means to be born again. It means God takes your heart that is dead in sin and he makes it alive in Christ. One of the most basic things that the Holy Spirit does when he gives new life to someone in Christ is he gives them a love for Jesus. How many of you know the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22? The fruit of the Spirit is, what's the first one that's listed? Love. Love for God and love for others. I think one of the most basic things the Holy Spirit does is he gives us a love for Christ. He gives us an affection and a delight in the person and work of our Savior. And that affection, that delight, it changes how we think. It changes how we feel. And it's like you're a new creation, 2 Corinthians 5:17. You're born again. Now, we need to understand that loving Jesus is more than just having warm feelings for him. It is that. For sure, it is that. If your heart is like a lump of lead for Christ, you need to be born again. Like, there is warmness, there is tenderness there, but there's more than that. In fact, Jesus described for us what it means to love him in John chapter 14, verse 15. He says, if you love me, does anybody know how that line ends? If you love me, you will keep my commands. He says that knowing full well that we will fail at keeping his commands. Jesus knows full well our need of grace. He knows that we need his perfection to cover our sins. He knows that we need his sacrifice on the cross to be forgiven, and we need his resurrection from the dead in order to conquer the grave. He knows our need of grace. He knows we will fail at keeping his commands. If we could make ourselves right with God through works, Jesus would have never taken on humanity, and he would have never entered the world. Why would he have to? Keeping God's commands adds nothing to the finished work of Jesus. But what it does, what keeping Jesus' commands does for us, is it shows that the finished work of Christ has been applied to our lives. It reveals that our hearts have been changed by the Holy Spirit to love the one who is most worthy of our affection, who is most worthy of our devotion. That's what genuine salvation is. It's a changed heart. A heart that has affection for the Lord and the things of the Lord. That's what it means to be born again. And the book of Proverbs is extremely helpful to us in this regard. The whole purpose of the book of Proverbs, as we saw last week, is to help people to properly apply God's word to their lives. That is how the Bible defines wisdom. It is the ability, it is the capacity of a person to apply the word of God, the commands of God, to our lives. Wisdom is more than just information in our heads. It is properly applied truth to our life. Last week, we learned where wisdom begins. We'll just try and do a little review here. Are there any kids in the room this morning that can remind us of where wisdom begins? What is the beginning of wisdom? Anybody remember? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Very good. That's the starting place. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 15, which we're going to look at this morning. In these verses, Solomon's going to take us from the beginning of wisdom. We need to have a beginning. That's super important. But he's going to take us beyond the beginning, and he's going to show us what we need in order to walk along in the journey of becoming wise. He shows us here one of the things that we absolutely need in order to be wise. He also shows us in these verses where wisdom comes from. And lastly, he shows us a tremendous benefit or a gift in growing in wisdom. First, let's look at what we need to become wise. From what's said in verses 1 through 5, we learn this. We learn that becoming wise requires humility. In order to gain the ability to properly apply truth to our lives, we must first realize that what is good and right comes from outside of ourselves. Hollywood, Disney, they've got it wrong when they say follow your heart. What's good and right does not come from us. And so what we need to see is that becoming wise requires humility. One of the things I often say about good Bible reading is that if you're a good Bible reader, you will pay attention to tiny words. Small words are often important in the scriptures. And there's a tiny word that Solomon uses here in the first four verses. He uses it repeatedly, and it's very important. It's the word if. The word means that there are things that need to happen in order to get a desired result, which means if those things don't happen, then you don't get the desired result. That's what the word if means. And I'm guessing there's children in our service this morning who know these statements well. How many of you have ever heard your parents say something like, "If you want dessert, you need to finish your supper." Or you need to eat your vegetables. Any kids hear that from their parents? All right, some people, good. I've said that to my kids once or twice. Or if you want to play that game, you need to finish your homework first. Right, you ever hear something like that? So that's what if means. You need to do this in order to get that. Let's listen together at Solomon's if statements in the first four verses. He says, "My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as hidden treasures." There's a lot of if statements there. Notice, first of all, in verse 1, the need to receive. If you receive my words, he writes. You know, God's word is offered to people. In the day and age in which we live, God's word is offered to people in abundance. I mean, you can order a Bible on Amazon and get it here tomorrow. You can look it up on Bible Gateway and read it. You can store it on your cell phone. Like, the Word of God is available in abundance in our world. It's offered. But how often is it left on the shelf? How often is it ignored? In order to receive God's word, it means we need to have an understanding of our need of God's word. And that, brothers and sisters, is an act of humility. It is realizing, if you understand that you need God's word, you are realizing that you don't have the answers to life. Because we don't have the answers to life. So realizing if you're receiving God's commands, if you're receiving his words, it means I don't have the answers to life, but the Lord does, and I'm going to seek them there. And that gets worked out in how we value what the Bible says. If we believe that God has the answers for life, then we will do what it says here. It says we will treasure up or store up those instructions because we know our need. And that deeply felt need is going to get worked out in the way that we listen to God's word. Solomon says here, the way we receive, the way we treasure up God's commands is by, what does he say? He says, make your ear attentive to wisdom. Commentator Franz de Leesch says that that literally means to stiffen your ear, which means that you purposely focus your attention on what's being said. Now, if you're like me, you can find yourself easily distracted at times. Sometimes I can be like a dog chasing a squirrel. Right? Be in the middle of the conversation and something will happen and I'll go, "Whoa, what was that?" It's easy to become distracted. But what I've noticed in my own life, and you've probably noticed this in yours, is that when I perceive the need to listen, when I perceive that what's being said to me is really, really important, then I work hard, I make an effort at paying attention. That's what Solomon is saying here. Give Make your ear attentive to wisdom. Stiffen your ear. Put effort into paying attention. And that's why he says here, if you call out for insight, if you seek it like silver and search for it like hidden treasure. Why do we call out for things? We call out for things because we feel the need for them. Often the idea of calling out for something implies a desperate need for something. And we call out for things because they are outside of ourselves. We don't currently have them, so we ask for them. We search for things like hidden treasures. We search for things that we see as valuable. And the fact that we're looking for them means that we are seeking them because they are beyond what we already have. They are outside ourselves. That's humility. And we need that to become wise. It's sort of like being stranded on a desert island with no food and no supplies. Have you ever thought about what that would be like to be in the middle of the ocean on an island where there's really not much on the island and you have no food? Now, imagine you're in that situation. You're on this island. There's no food. There's no supplies. And you see a boat pass by. What are you going to do? Anybody? We're just going to sit there? We're just going to sit there and watch the boat pass by. You're probably going to stand up and you're probably going to yell, right? You're going to call out, help, wave arms. If you have a means to make fire, you might make a signal fire. Do whatever you can. You're trying to get the boat's attention, right? Because you understand you need those guys. Now, only a great fool would sit on an island with no food and no supplies and watch the boat pass by and say, you know what, I got this. No problem. I'm going to solve the problem on my own. That would be utter foolishness to do that. And the fact is that as human beings, we are on a desert island, spiritually speaking, when it comes to wisdom. So if we're going to become wise, that is, learn how to apply the truth of God's word to our lives, we first of all must see ourselves as people in great need. That's humility. Now look at what happens in verse 5. There's a promise. So if, verse 5, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and the knowledge of God. The word understand here means the ability to discern things properly. That is to say, if we are humble, if we look to God's word, we are going to have the proper perspective on the fear of the Lord. We're going to understand that he is our creator. We are going to understand that we belong to him. We're going to understand that he has the right to tell us how to live. And we are going to understand that his ways are for our highest good. We'll have a right understanding of the fear of the Lord. It also says here that we will find the knowledge of God. That is, we will think rightly about the nature and character of the Lord. Just take a little aside here to say that, the theological survey that some of you have done, the results are pretty good. Some of you are a little off, but most of you are pretty good. So praise God for that. And when we have that humility, when we come to the Word of God, then we will understand God's nature, his character. We will understand him rightly in as much as we have the capacity to understand him. We're not going to make up our own ideas about who God is and what he's like. Sadly, our world is filled with the foolishness of people believing and proclaiming things about God based on their own opinions or based on the influences of culture. People who stand on a spiritual desert island and cry out, I know better than the Bible. Can't tell you how many videos I've seen of basement warriors who come off as experts saying, this or that. You think the Bible says this. You think it means what it's always meant, but it doesn't really mean that. It means what I say it means. And how quickly people are to abandon truth. You want to know a good test as to whether or not you have exercised humility in order to gain wisdom in your life? Just ask yourself this question. When is a time in my life that I have read something in the Bible that I initially did not like, but I submitted to it because it's God's word? And I know that God's word is the source of truth, not my own feeling, not my own thinking, but it's God's word that's the source of truth. Has that ever happened in your life? Like, it's really easy to get along with the commands in the Bible that we agree with, that make us feel good. But what about the things that you don't like? Have you ever heard a sermon that said something you didn't like? And you're like, man, I didn't like that. But it's pretty clear that came from God's word. So I need to go against my feeling here, and I need to submit to what the Lord says. Has that ever happened in your life? Can I suggest to you, if that has never happened in your life, then you're not on the path of wisdom, because you don't know what it means to be humble before a holy God. If you're going to grow in wisdom, if you're going to become wise, then you need humility. And if we can see that, then our hearts would be ready to see this next lesson, which comes in verses 6 through 10. And the lesson is this, that becoming wise is a gift from the Lord. God delights, I want you to hear this carefully, God delights in a humble heart. And the one who turns from himself towards his Creator will receive everything needed to increase in the ability to live rightly in God's sight. Becoming wise is a gift from the Lord. We see another important small word at the beginning of verse 6. It's the word for. Why is the promise of verse 5 true for those who follow all these if statements in verses 1 through 5? Why is the promise of verse 5 true for those who humble themselves by receiving and treasuring God's word and purposefully pay attention to it? Verse 6 gives us the answer. For the Lord, listen to this, the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. If you have a Bible with you this morning, you need to know that you are holding in your hands more than ink and paper. This is God's instruction manual for life. And God has produced this and preserved this book in miraculous ways. And when you look at the historical evidence for how the Bible came to be, it's absolutely miraculous. And it's unimaginable to think that God would do all of that to make his word available to us and then keep wisdom hidden from us. It's unthinkable to think that he would do that. Every single person who comes to the scriptures with a desire to understand and to live a life that is pleasing in God's sight, they will gain that exact thing to one degree or another. Remember, wisdom is something different than the measurement of intellectual capacity. Wisdom is the ability or the skill to apply the truth of God's word to your life. And if you've got verses 1 through 5, if you've got that humble attitude, you're attentive, you're trying to grow, then God will honor that. Verse 6, for he gives wisdom. The Lord gives wisdom. He gives it. It's a gift. The biggest problem that people have in gaining wisdom is not intelligence. The biggest problem that people have in gaining wisdom is pride. It is pride that ignores God's word. It is pride that twists and turns the scriptures to suit evil desires. And boy, do we have that in abundance in our world today, which is why there's so much godlessness in the world. If, however, we humble ourselves and genuinely seek to know how to live out what God says, He will give us that wisdom. That's the promise of verse 6. I love what it says in verses 7 and 8. Listen to what it says. It says, He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the way of His saints. Commentator Alan Ross says that the word store up here implies storing up something for future use. And when I read that, the first thing that came to my mind was the picture of a piggy bank. Anybody have a piggy bank? They used to have, what do you use a piggy bank for? To save money, right? Now in the old days, and now when you buy a piggy bank, they have an opening where you can take the lid off or you can pull out a plug and you can get the money out. In the old days, they didn't have that. You had to smash the thing to get the money out, right? So it's like you really wanted to make sure that you had saved enough or that whatever you're going to get the money out for, you really wanted, right? That's the idea here, is that wisdom is being stored up very much like money is being put in a piggy bank. It's being stored up for the future. And the picture that's given here is that when a person humbly comes before the Word of God seeking wisdom, the Lord is working His Word into the heart and mind of such a person like a spiritual piggy bank, so that when that wisdom is needed later on, they will have it in order to use it. And what's so encouraging about that picture, what's so amazing about that, is that the Lord never runs out of the ability to put treasure in the wisdom piggy bank of your heart and mind. He never runs out of that. And as that grows and as that increases, it becomes a safeguard for our lives, according to verse 8. And he expands on that promise in verses 9 and 10 when he says this, "Then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity and every good path. For wisdom will come into your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul." When we humbly give our attention to the scriptures, God will give us wisdom. And when we have wisdom, we will know God's standards and we will apply them correctly and we will apply them consistently. That's his point in verse 10 when he says, "Wisdom will come into your heart." There's an important reminder for us there that wisdom is more than just the application of a set of rules. It is something that is woven into our lives, something that goes so deep into our hearts that it's about as much as who we are as it is what we do. Keeping a rule for the sake of keeping a rule is certainly better than breaking a rule, but it falls short of what wisdom is, according to the book of Proverbs here. Obeying God's word because we love God and we can see the goodness of His ways, that is true wisdom. And it is consistent and it is genuine and it is a gift that comes from the Lord according to His grace. You know, Jesus said, "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks," Matthew 12:34. Here's a hard question that we all should ask ourselves. When we speak, is it wisdom or is it foolishness that comes out of our mouths? If it's going to be wisdom, then we need to humble ourselves. We need to give our attention to God's word and we need to plead with Him for understanding. If we do those things, He will give that to us. He will give wisdom to us in the course of time. It will become part of the fabric of who we are. And if that happens, we'll receive a tremendous benefit. We'll receive the benefit of wisdom, which we're told about in verses 11 through 15, where Solomon shows us this, that becoming wise will keep you safe. The more we grow in our ability to do what is right, the less we will be influenced by evil. Listen to the picture that's given to us in verse 11. Discretion will watch over you. Understanding will guard you. When I think of watching over, or when I think of guarding, the picture that comes to my mind from the Bible is the picture of a good shepherd. In the ancient world, being a shepherd was a full-time job. It was around the clock. A good shepherd would stay with his sheep. He would look after them, protecting them from thieves and wild animals. That was true whether it was sunshine or rain, whether it was warm or whether it was cold, whether it was nighttime or daytime. The shepherd was there to watch over and care for the sheep. And that's the kind of watching, that's the kind of guarding that's in view here. See, when our hearts and minds are full of wisdom, we will be constantly protected. Protected from what? Listen to verses 12 through 15. It will watch over you and guard you. Verse 12, delivering you from the way of evil, from men of perverted speech, who forsake the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perverseness of evil, men whose paths are crooked and are devious in their ways. The word translated way in verse 12 can be translated as path or road, and it often describes a pattern of life in the Bible. And the case here is, the pattern of life that's in view here is the way of evil, and that's what you're going to be guarded against, Solomon tells us. The way of evil is a way, it's a way of life that is contrary to what God wants. More often than not, people who are neck deep in ungodly things want to bring other people along with them. That seems to be the way of evil people in the world. And it's something that an unwise person, a person who isn't guarded and isn't protected in their heart and mind by wisdom, it's something that an unwise person can easily be pulled into. I'd be willing to guess that that sort of thing happens on schoolyards on a daily basis. You know, kids who don't usually get into trouble, kids who usually follow the rules, they get caught up in a group. Group's doing something evil. They're doing something wrong. And they get caught up in that, and they, before you know it, they're participating in it. I can remember that happening to me on an occasion or two when I was young and in school. But you know, that's not just a problem on the schoolyard. It's not just a problem for children. That's a problem for adults too. It's easy to get caught up in the everyone else is doing it mentality and follow along with the crowd. I think we see that all the time in our society. And the problem with that is where that evil leads. Do you know where the way of evil leads? It leads to destruction every single time. That's often true in this life, but it is certainly true in eternity. The way of evil, Solomon describes here as perverse, which means literally means things are turned upside down. People call things that God calls good, they call that evil. And the things that God calls evil, they call good. They turn it upside down. And when that happens, both in lives as individuals and then when that happens in society, there is big trouble. Why? Because God's ways are right and they work and they lead to life. Which means the opposite is also true. When you do the opposite of what God says, it will not work. It will lead to pain. It will lead to sorrow. And ultimately, it leads to death. And the promise that is given here is that wisdom guards us from that. It keeps us safe from that. Now, that doesn't mean that God's people are always safe from evil people doing bad things to us. That certainly can and does happen, and it has happened throughout the history of the world, happened throughout the history of the church. In fact, Jesus tells us to expect getting hurt. He tells us to expect suffering from the unbelieving world. These verses, though, are pointing us to something bigger. They're pointing us to the fact that if we have wisdom in our heart, if it's guarding us, if it's keeping us safe, then the way of evil that leads to destruction, we will not follow. We will be kept safe from following down that road to our own destruction. I think one of the greatest examples in the Bible of this kind of wisdom is Noah. You remember Noah? God comes to Noah and he says, build a boat in the middle of land. Build a giant boat because I'm going to flood the earth. Now, how many times in the 50 to 100 years or so that it took Noah to build the boat, how many times do you think people made fun of him? How many times do you think people came around Noah or when Noah was in town or when Noah was preaching to people about the Lord? How many times do you think people tried to get Noah to join in with their evil? Noah, just forget about that boat thing. Come on, have some fun. How many times do you think that happened? I'm willing to bet that happened quite a few times in the 5,200 years it took Noah to build the boat. But what do you see in Noah's life? What do we see in Noah's life? We see that his wisdom carried the day, kept him safe. He persevered year after year and decade after decade, obeying God, doing what's right. And what happened at the end? What did his wisdom do for him? What did his love for God and his desire to obey what God said, what did it do for him? He got on the boat and he and his family were saved. His wisdom guarded him. And listen, what wisdom did for Noah, it has done for all of God's people. What wisdom did for Noah, it will do for you. It will do for me. It will keep us safe. Because if we humbly seek after wisdom, the wisdom that we can only find in God's word, do you know what will happen? He will give it to us. It's a gift. And when God's word has so worked its way into the deepest parts of our hearts and minds, we will be able to stand firm in what is right. Not because we're strong, not because we're smart in and of ourselves, but because God has worked amazingly in our hearts and minds and has given us strength and has given us wisdom through the work of the Spirit, through his word, so that we'll be able to stand firm in the face of evil, so that we will be saved, so that we will be safe, not just for a day, not just for a year, but forever. Do you want that in your life? I hope so. Because that's what it means, brothers and sisters, to be born again. If you have no desire for wisdom, that is, no desire to apply the truth of God's word to your life, you're not saved. You're not born again. It's the very heart of what it means to have a changed life by the power of the Holy Spirit, to have a heart that desires to grow in wisdom out of love for our glorious God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Do you want to be wise? Then you need to be humble. And if you're humble, God will give you wisdom. And when God gives you wisdom, it will keep you safe. Let's pray. Lord, it is so easy to have words, the sound of words, come into our ears and not migrate into our hearts. I pray, God, that you would work in our hearts so that our hearts would desire that our ears would be attentive to what you say. And Lord, when we are attentive to what you say, do the work that you've promised in these verses and make us wise so that we'll be safe from evil and we'll look forward to the coming of Christ and delight in your glory forever. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.